Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am your host, and very thrilled to have you back today. And we're going to hit some new topics that are very common after weight loss surgery to have discussions about when I meet with patients each week. And this one is a big discussion, and many patients don't really connect the dots with some of these. So some of them you might be familiar with, and some of them you may not, or you've probably forgotten. So I'm going to refresh your memory on some of these. But hopefully you've all had a great week, and hopefully you are excited about the changes you are making after weight loss surgery, and you are, you know, working on some new strategies of implementing change in your life. So hopefully you've gone to our website at wlsguthealth.com and have gotten some good tips and good strategies to get started with. If not, check us out. Also check us out at the Gastric Health Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. You can follow us on all those and get a variety of information as we share it throughout the week. And we'd just love to interact with any of you. So feel free to reach out by email on our website, wlsguthealth.com, and just reach out by hitting contact us. And we would be happy to answer any questions as best we can. I am not your dietitian, but I can give some generalities and some information that may help you get to the right person or get to a solution that you need with your problem. So reach out if you need to. If not, you know, check us out in any of those other outlets to connect and have fun. In the end, this is, you know, weight loss surgery is for life. So this can't be painful. You have to make this enjoyable, this whole process of food and exercise and vitamins. And this is new for a lot of people. So you have to make this fun in your own way. I would love to hear how people keep this real when it comes to living life after weight loss surgery. I don't believe in perfection, but I also don't believe in that whole philosophy of moderation. I think that's just a bunch of crap, honestly. And it just opens that free rein of I can eat anything I want, just a small amount of it, and I'm good. And the reality is, not true. There are some things that you can't have, and there are some things that just will not work after weight loss surgery for various reasons. And I've seen it time and time again, and it always starts off innocently. It's never that you're attempting to get yourself off track. It's you are thinking that, oh, it's just a little bit, or maybe you're pressured by friends or family. It's just one bite. And it starts off innocently, and you cave, and you let them, you know, kind of overtake your wishes by feeling guilty if you don't. So, You have to stand strong and do you. Just do you. And who cares that it's different? Who cares that it's not the norm or the standard or what everybody else is doing? You just have to interact and kind of get in a community of like-minded people. So being involved with groups on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or online, interacting with those people that are doing you just like you, only different, you need to interact with them, because that way when you are faced with, you know, people that are not maybe meaning to get you off track. I mean, some could be, but I try to look at people in a positive light and not in a negative light. So for the most part, I would say most people aren't intentionally doing it. They're just maybe wanting you to, you know, help them fill their void of, you know, hey, we used to just, you know, pig out together and, you know, we binge on all kinds of junk food and now you're not. So I miss that. So you have to learn to do friendships different. You have to learn to do, you know, eating out different and entertaining and socializing. All that is different. And you've got to be around people who can give you ideas in the moment when you are struggling. So, and the further you get out, it will get easier because you've got more time on your side and you've gotten the ability to say no. And you've had the time to kind of let your body recover from all the years of the standard American diet. And now you are, you know, feeling better and you feel like, okay, I can totally do this. So the longer you go, the easier it gets. So don't get disheartened if you're early on or if you're just starting the whole process, then don't get disheartened if you mess up, if you're pre-op. And if you're post-op, then stay strong and keep saying no, 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 and work on finding ways to make it through without those foods and with now exercising and doing all the things that you know you have to do. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but regardless, I'm sure it will help somebody that was struggling. But regardless, let's get on with the topic, and it is 4 familiar causes of hair loss after weight loss surgery. Hair loss is a big deal. If you, especially females, none of us like to lose our hair. So, and it's part of our image and part of us and who we are and how we perceive ourselves and others perceive us. And if you take that away or change it in a drastic manner, it's difficult. So hair loss is a big topic when it comes to visits when I see patients. So one familiar cause is low protein absorption. So you all are, you know, maybe not 100% of you, but most of you are pretty good at hitting your protein goals. There's more people that hit it than more people that don't. So that's, at least in my eyes, that's what I see. I see that most of you do pretty good. You're at least hitting, you know, if you listen to the last podcast of, you know, a minimum of 60 grams of protein that you're at least hitting, I would say most people, there's not too many people that don't even hit at least that. Then when you deal with absorption, that's a different story. So you're dealing with something that you sometimes don't have the control of changing, and just by, you know, food choices. So that's where you have to kind of rely on the support of digestive enzymes and probiotics. And I have talked about this on a couple of different podcasts. I have one podcast on increasing the protein absorption with the probiotics. I talk about that. And then also I have one on digestive enzymes on how it improves protein absorption. So it's a pretty big deal. I mean, you can't just, expect protein to be absorbed because you're eating enough of it. It's what is happening in your body. And so that's where you've got to pay attention to the symptoms. And if you are having hair loss and you feel like, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job getting my protein in, I'm hitting my goals, why the heck am I losing protein or losing hair? Why am I losing hair when I'm eating, you know, plenty of protein? I'm hitting the goals that my dietitian or surgeon have given me, and it doesn't make sense. And it could be one, it could be that you're not absorbing enough of it. And that's where you need to look at, you know, one, a probiotic, and two, potentially some digestive enzymes. So I would say if you struggle to tolerate meat, like it doesn't sit well and it maybe is uncomfortable, or you just don't eat meat regularly, you drink your protein shakes, but you don't eat meat regularly, I would say, you know, the protein, you know, taking some digestive enzymes would probably help that in that avenue so that you can tolerate it a little bit better. And then the probiotics are a given. You guys should all be on probiotics no matter what. If you go onto our website, WLSgutHealth.com, we have a fabulous probiotic. And I'm telling you, we get awesome results with this product. I don't believe in magic pills. I don't believe there's any one pill that fixes any problem for every person. But this one has done some pretty cool things. And it just does a fabulous job. And it's just the whole package deal. This formulation works, and it is a great one for weight loss surgery patients. So go to our website, WLSgutHealth.com, and check out the Gastric Health Probiotic. You will not be disappointed, I promise. So that will help with your protein absorption. The second cause of hair loss after weight loss surgery is low zinc absorption. So zinc is mostly found in protein foods. So think of your meats and all those. So I'm going to pull up actually a chart while we talk here. And I am going to pull up my zinc food list. So I have that option. I think I have it. I don't. So zinc foods is mostly, think of protein-rich meats and stuff. That's where you're going to find a lot of zinc. Well, if you're not absorbing the protein, guess what? You're not absorbing the zinc. And surprisingly, we have a lot of zinc deficiencies, even pre-surgery. That's a common thing that we see pre-surgery is zinc deficiency. And that kind of goes along with if somebody's on the proton pump inhibitors. So think of Nexium, Prevacid, Omeprazole. Those are common contributors for that zinc to be low, because we are losing the ability of the stomach acid. You're shutting off with the PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors. We are shutting off the stomach acid. And when you don't have enough stomach acid, you don't take off or cleave off the zinc from food and supplements. So that's why it's easy to see that mineral of zinc not being absorbed well. So it's not that you maybe aren't getting enough of it. It's just that you're not absorbing it. One, because, you know, one, maybe you're on a PPI, or two, you need some digestive enzymes to help support that. And here's a tip. Please do not go putting yourself on zinc because you're losing hair. First, you need to go to your bariatric team and ask them to check your RBC zinc. So do not start taking zinc. You will start messing with a bunch of other vitamins and minerals. So the solution is not taking more vitamins or taking higher doses. Trust me, you will mess up other vitamins and minerals by doing this. I have seen it all the time. I actually just had a patient last week that came in for a follow-up, and I had recommended, they had a low vitamin A on their blood work. And I had recommended no vitamin A, but a probiotic to correct their low vitamin A. Because of some other symptoms they had and some other reasons that was going to be the best solution for them. And I didn't want to bombard their system with a high dose of vitamin A. And what did they do? They came back and they were taking no probiotics, but they were taking a vitamin A supplement. And they said, well, my A was low, and I thought this would just be the simplest way. And so I had to explain that, no, I was trying to accomplish it better, because anytime I've used some vitamin A supplement, I don't get the results that I'm wanting. So I've learned that that is not my solution. And you have to go at it with a different approach. And your probiotic is your best defense. It does so much work for us. And that's where we don't have to supplement with additional, with all these onesie, twosie vitamins and minerals to fix problems. We really go at it, you know, from the probiotics and food and work on it that way. And digestive enzymes, that's kind of the whole package deal. If you're taking a probiotic and digestive enzymes and your body is digesting the food like it's supposed to, guess what? You're not going to have issues with a low zinc because your body's going to take care of it for you. So don't go out because you heard on here that a low zinc level is going to cause hair loss, which it is true. A low zinc level is going to cause hair loss. And so don't run out and start on a zinc supplement thinking you're going to fix your problem. Zinc has to be taken with another mineral so that you don't deplete it. And the easiest way is taking a probiotic. You can get further faster with a probiotic than you can onesie, twosie, the vitamins and minerals. So start small. Be smart. Think general with foods and digestive enzymes and probiotics, and you'll be surprised at how far you get. So that's kind of your second one. So your protein absorption, making sure you have an adequate protein absorption. If not, you add in the probiotics and you add digestive enzymes. If your zinc is low or you're not absorbing enough of it, then that's when you need some probiotics and digestive enzymes and work with your bariatric team on getting off of the PPIs because that is a contributor and that's messing with that. So hopefully you can get off of that if you never stop a PPI abruptly. That is something that you have to work with your doctor to get off of, and it's going to take about a month to get off of that PPI. So don't just stop it abruptly or you'll have rebound reflux and you'll have horrible heartburn and feel miserable and you feel like you'll never get off of it. And it's not that you could never get off, it's just that you did it incorrectly. So that's number two. So number three is low iron. So guess what? If you have a low iron, you are going to have some hair loss. So make sure that you go with your bariatric team and have them test your iron levels. So I've talked about this before on another podcast about iron labs, and you want to make sure you're checking the ferritin, which is your stored iron. You want to make sure you're testing the serum iron, which is what is circulating in your body. And then you need to test your CBC, which has your hemoglobin on it. And those are the three simple, most common, indicators to check for iron. For your iron levels. And the things that can impact this, again, goes back to PPIs. So if you don't have adequate stomach acid, guess what? It's not going to cleave off the iron from the food and the supplements. So you're going to have a difficult time absorbing iron, as well as if you have a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, the absorption sites for iron is where it's in the part of the intestine that's been bypassed. So that's why it's a common problem. But if you're taking PPIs, you're really putting the odds against you. So make sure that you are working with your bariatric team or your surgeon or your family doctor, whoever, work with a medical professional of getting off that PPI as soon as you can and doing it correctly so that you don't get that rebound reflux and feel like you're trapped for life on that. But iron, you can improve the odds with, probiotics. That will increase the absorption of the iron, and then also digestive enzymes. That's a bigger player improving that digestion the absorption of iron. So far we've talked about the four causes of hair loss is protein, zinc, and iron. Those will all, if any of those are low, you will have hair loss. And iron, I will tell you that stored iron, there's some studies showing that even if you have your stored iron less than 60, So if the ferritin comes back less than 60, most people like to have it at least above 30. That's where our bare bones minimum is, at least 30. But if you are less than 60, you could still have some hair loss. So you got to get that stored iron up. So that's where those digestive enzymes really do help. And then the last one is your thyroid. And if you have hypothyroid, you have experienced this before, where you've lost hair when your thyroid is off. So if you know you already have thyroid disease, then you've had weight loss surgery recently, and you haven't been back to your weight loss or to your doctor who manages it. I don't know. Our surgeons don't manage any thyroid levels. So whatever if your bariatric team does, awesome. If they don't, get with whoever is managing it and make sure it's checked so that you know that it's in the right range and that's not the contributor of your hair loss, because you can take all the hair, skin, and nails and all the biotin and all that you want. But it's not going to fix it if it's your thyroid that's driving the hair loss. So that one is, you know, probably more towards your family care doctor is going to be managing that, or an endocrinologist, or somebody that is not usually the bariatric team sometimes. So whatever works at your center, then that's what I would do. But those are the four main causes. The typical range for hair loss is months 3 through 6, and then months 6 through 9 is when you'll have regrowth and get little stubbles, and you'll see that you're growing your hair back. So that window, the 3 to 6 months, is the worst. And so making sure that you have everything on board and you're taking your supplements like you're supposed to, and you're eating your food that are rich in meats and proteins, and making sure that, you know, iron-rich foods. I didn't discuss that, but some iron-rich foods. The best one is liver. If you can eat beef liver, that is the best source, and that is an awesome way to boost your iron level. Chicken livers can work as well. Just don't bread them and fry them. I'm cool with you frying them in coconut oil. That's acceptable. But don't bread them and fry them in, you know, 4 inches of you know, canola oil or whatever oil you use. No, use like a coconut oil that actually has health benefits, and do not put any breading on it. So. But that's a great one. But you can also get it from, you know, dark leafy greens. You can get it from dried fruits. You can get it from other foods. It doesn't have to be just beef. But that's your richest source. So, you know, at least try if you can stomach it. So, or liverwurst. You could do a liverwurst. I do like that. Braunschweiger, those also have some. You just got to get a really good quality, and you got to make sure they don't put junk in it, and that's where it's harder. So you got to make sure you're reading the labels and that you see no nitrates, no nitrites, and no MSG. I was just looking at, just last weekend, I was trying to find some liverwurst and was struggling, and we stopped into this this meat market, and they had Braunschweiger, but it had MSG and it had nitrates, and I was like, ah, you ruined it. So make sure you read the ingredients and that you're avoiding those things. So those are the four familiar causes of hair loss after weight loss surgery. And you just have to do your part by making sure that you're doing these small things on the backside, which you should be already. And that will help, you know, kind of support your body to do a whole lot of work for you without having to take any additional iron, any additional zinc, or any additional protein foods or protein shakes. You know, it corrects it by itself with just taking a probiotic every day and some digestive enzymes at each meal. And then the food, you know, making sure you're eating those foods that are rich in those sources. So I hope that has helped you, and I hope you enjoy your week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.